Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Has recommended that Muslim women wearing hijabs refuse to go through the full body pat-downs before boarding planes. Will you insist that they do go through full body pat-downs before boarding planes?
Look, we have, like I said before, we are doing what we need to do to protect the traveling public, and adjustments will be made where they need to be made. With respect to that particular issue, I think...
We just come in from a bowl analogy here, you know. We just come in from the bowling lanes, and it's a tough question, you know. Me and the girls are just in from the lanes, and we got to give it some thought here. We got to make some adjustments to our corsets here. So which way do you want to go? How do you want to fly is the question. I mean, what do you want? You know, the government's in a no-win situation. I know you want me to just jump on the pylon right now. I'm not going to do it because I think there's a mass hysteria in America that I'm partly responsible for. I have to admit, I'm the first one in the media to have talked about TSA and I'm not flying. This goes back years. You know that. I don't need confirmation. I told you I hate travel because of the thugs. I don't like the fact that all the money I've spent all my life to move to better neighborhoods and improve myself. Here I am being frisked and touched in strange places by people I've avoided all my life that I've worked in other words to get away from. So I've said that. Then it turns into this metastasis of now we don't want body scans, now we don't want to be touched. Well, what do you want to do here? Look, you want to get crazy? Let's have another conspiracy. Osama bin Laden owns the scanning company, okay, and the whole thing was a scam. You want to put that on the internet. Go ahead. Now that's the next thing. Osama bin Laden doesn't exist. He owns the scanning company and he's in cahoots with Obama making money. I mean, come on now. How do you want to deal with the radical Islamics who want to blow us up? You know, it's a nice day out there. I'm not going to burst the blood vessel over this right now. There's plenty of people doing it. I'd rather talk about Gainsborough Blue Bays and breadcrumbs. Now, let me tell you what I mean by Gainsborough Blue Bays and breadcrumbs. First of all, it's November 16th already, obviously, and it's a strange, beautiful time of year in the San Francisco Bay Area. We get these China blue color falls over the San Francisco Bay this time of year. It's hard to describe. So I call it a Gainsborough blue. I was calling it China blue yesterday, but that has no meaning. Gainsborough painted skies of this color. It's the closest color I've ever seen to it. It's very calming. It's very beautiful. So when I say Gainsborough blue bays and breadcrumbs, what do I mean? I mean living well is the best revenge. I still enjoy nature, and believe me, I know food. I can be Mr. Down-to-earth guy, I don't care what I eat, but I know the difference between really good food and bad food. Last night I had a book party. I didn't announce it to anyone. It was a very large book party. There were three people there and my dog, Teddy, in the calamari room of Alioto's restaurant. I had two of my friends and Teddy, and Richie Alioto joined us. And I call it my book party, but you know, I sat in the calamari room. They have a little private room. It is so wonderful. You're like in a fishbowl and no one can hear you. And the reason I'm mentioning it is I had a piece of fish. I'm getting more excited over the fish than the TSA. Richie makes the food just for me. So I said, Richie, give me the fish. I don't want too much of this. I'm not too much of that. Nobody here, nobody there. He knows. He's all right. Leave it to me. I'll make it Sicilian style. He comes out with a piece of fish with these fine breadcrumbs on it, with no grease. And I said, Richie, what kind of breadcrumbs are these? He says, they're cracker meal breadcrumbs. I never heard of cracker meal breadcrumbs. So that was my book party. Three to four people, two friends and I and Richie and Teddy. Teddy got the royal treatment. He got a hamburger, no salt and pepper. And what happens is that when the hamburger comes out, it always comes out first. I have a certain friend who eats the burger before the dog does. He starts dipping his fork into the hamburger bowl. It's high quality, you know. Why shouldn't he? We're all hungry. It's an appetizer. But I got the A-shed shrimp. See, when I go in a restaurant, I ask people, where is the shrimp from? Where is the calamari from? He says, man, get the fish. You know what I'm saying? 1-800, I know, all you want to talk about is TSA now and breast and crotch touching. Come on, leave me alone already with it. You want me to just pile on with the what do you want them to do? No scans and no touching? So where's that going to leave you? I'd like the answer to this question. You know, there's an hysteria that's running through this issue right now, and I have to be the one to stop it. Once again, the big problem falls on my shoulders. What do you want the government to do? To stop searching you and to stop scanning you? And then what? That's exactly what Osama bin Laden wants to happen. So then the next underwear bomber is going to board a plane without it. What do you want? I mean, how do you want this done? The Israeli joke with the lead chamber that you go in, it doesn't x-ray you, but it detonates any explosives. And the next announcement is there's now a seat available on a flight to Brussels. We did that yesterday. You want a recipe for Thanksgiving? It's too soon. Next week we'll do it. But I do like Janet Napolitano's voice, where she won't answer whether or not they're going to give Muslim women a pass. Because if they do, that's the end of the road. I could think of 10 other groups that should be given a pass. You start giving Muslim women a pass, the next group, and I'll tell you, I'm dead on it. If a woman is a rape survivor, she should not be touched. End of story. If a woman is a rape survivor, she should absolutely have a pass at the airport. They should not let a woman or a man grope them. What if you're a survivor of molestation as a man? What if when you were a young boy, somebody touched you inappropriately? What, get a doctor's note? You want to start in like with medical marijuana in San Francisco, where half the people are stoned all the time and the other half are stoned half the time, which means no one's ever straight any of the time in the Bay Area? Or they all have doctor's notes for medical marijuana, you schmucks, you. There's no such thing as medical marijuana. It's a ploy to legalize marijuana. And if that's what you want, then call it what it is. But if you're going to start giving dispensation to various people with regard to scanning and touching, there's no end to it. Rape victims, molestation victims, Muslims wearing hijabs, Muslims not wearing hijabs, Orthodox Jews, nuns wearing habits, nuns with bad habits, nuns with no habits, nuns who need good habits, nuns who have bad habits. I mean, who do you want to exclude from this? I could create the list. There are many other groups. How about children under the age of 2? By the way, the Israelis do frisk. You don't know this. I mean, you say, oh, do it the way the Israelis do. Well, I was in Israel in 1979. I had a one-year-old, two-year-old child. They went through her diapers. Yeah, they're pretty smart. They know that the terrorists would use a child to plant the bomb. So let's not be stupid about this. Let's try to be rational. Let us try to help in the national quest for security without losing all of our liberty. And I don't have the answer. How do you like that? I have my answer. I don't fly. That's all. I mean, I may go to L.A. For Thanksgiving. I'm going to drive in my Chevy van. That's all. What's wrong with that? Fly less, drive more. You don't like it. How's that for fly less, drive more? Oh, then the TSA will say, well, now we have to pat you down on the highway. Every McDonald's is going to have a TSA officer in the toilet. And just for safety now, we're going to put one in every toilet owned by Michael Chertoff. He's going to provide a TSA agent with a body scanner in McDonald's rest stops. I mean, where does this end, this insanity? Now, you could go to the other extreme and just say, let's do, let's do profiling. Now, profiling is a very interesting concept. Like, let's let the pilots alone, let's let the stewardesses alone, let's start with that. They don't have to go through screening, okay? Just leave them alone. They're flying the plane. That's number one. Well, on the other hand, well, what if you get one of the practitioners of the religion of peace who's dressed up as a nice pilot who wants to blow the plane up? I mean, you know, there's no end to this paranoia. Where does it go? So then you go the other way. So, okay, every member of Congress has to go through it every time they fly. And I want to see the body scan of Barbara Boxer posted on the internet. I want to wake up in the morning to a body scan of Janet Napolitano. The day Janet Napolitano lets her x-ray be published is the day America should say we'll all go through it. How does that work for you? I'm trying to work something out rationally here. Let's go to the other. Let's say the body scans of every member of Congress has to be posted on the Drudge Report in order to get the American people to agree. In the case of, for example, Sandy Berger, the guy who smuggled top secret documents out of the archives, remember that one? If they body scanned, they probably found he had his genitals removed in China in order to include more secret papers down there. You don't know what you're going to find. Maybe some of them are extraterrestrials. We'll find out that 20% of Congress are ETs. They have no bodies. They're cyborgs. So this could be very interesting. So as I say, one solution or the other, something's got to change here. I don't know what it is. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The goal here, you know, we're not doing this just to do it. We're doing it because we need to keep powders and gels and liquids off of planes that are unauthorized, just as we need to keep metals off of planes. Now, this is being done in recognizing that we all have a collective role in our security. And we all know and can recognize that there are threats and risks that have been articulated.
And, we just come in from the bowling alley, a couple of girls, we're out bowling, and we're working on it. We're working it down. We got to keep the gels and the powders out of there. And it's a risk-based system. And you got to understand at the airport, I mean, you know, just something we know a lot about here. And as I say, me and the girls are down at the alley. We're shooting a few down at the lanes. And we're going to resolve it to the satisfaction of the American people. Now, if you got to be frisk once in a while, you know, dummy up and just take it. I mean, that's the way it is. It's what we do down here anyway, so what's the difference? I understand in San Francisco, this is normal behavior anyway. I mean, they go out in the clubs, and this is what they do at night. So what are you belly aching at the airport? You know, lighten up a little bit with this Victorian behavior. You know, lighten up a little bit. You might like it. I don't know. That's why I say, you know, what? Maybe my idea of driving more is a good idea, or going nowhere is a good idea. But here's a horrible story. TSA pats down a screaming toddler. How's that for one? Wood chipper accident kills a tree trimmer. Oh, God. Oh, God. One woman dead, twin sister wounded at firing range. Wood chipper accident kills tree trimmer. That's the stuff for a nightmarish movie. Freak accident in California when a rope to which he was attached became entangled in a wood chipper. Antonio Barajas, 33, suffered a fatal head injury. Oh, God, I don't even want to read this. Climbing rope caught in a tree limb being fed into the chipper. He actually didn't end up in the machine. Nevertheless, it's horrible. He has an 8-month-old son, so life is horrendous. You think this is bad tree trimming, and you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's why I say eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow may never come. You don't read the Bible. You think you're here forever, right? You got to have a good time also. You got to enjoy yourself. You got to laugh at authority. They have all the power, so you can laugh at them while you're complying. I mean, what are you going to do? You can laugh at them still. It's still legal to laugh at them. It's not yet a dictatorship. George Soros came out and said that China has a better government than the United States. Isn't that wonderful? George Soros, that kind-hearted, freedom-loving, America-worshipping immigrant, George Soros, said that China has a better government than the U.S. It's not as cumbersome. How is it that all of these psychotic liberals who escaped Nazism want Nazism? How is that? Does anyone understand this? What is this, some kind of syndrome? How is it that all the liberals who kind of fled Hitler come here and now they want to reimpose a sort of liberal Hitlerism? How does that work? They of all people should be sensitive to an intrusive government. And yet here there's a China has a better government. And that putz Thomas Friedman, the same thing. He loves China, loves the Chinese government. Then move there. Go take a job in China, Friedman. I think Soros is kind of making nice to China because he knows there's liable to be an investigation of the Managed Funds Association under the Republican administration coming in January. And as I point out in Trickle Up Poverty, yes, Trickle Up Poverty. Yes, the Wall Street chapter, the best chapter ever written about the meltdown in Trickle Up Poverty. There could be an investigation of George Soros and Hank Paulson by the incoming Congress. So maybe he's cozying up to China in order to move there. How do I know what he's really doing by saying such a foolish thing? China has a better government? The new watchword of the liberal sadists is this. The liberal sadists say, there's too much gridlock here. China has no gridlock. Well, Hitler had no gridlock. Mussolini had no gridlock. Pol Pot had no gridlock. Gridlock doesn't exist in a dictatorship, schmuck. Gridlock exists in a democracy, moron. Go tell that to Thomas Friedman, the putz of the New York Times, or George Soros. They're all in love with dictatorships all of a sudden. And left-wing dictatorships, you understand, mind you. New York City, W.O.R. Howard, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael. No, not New York City. Upstate New York, up around Lyle. But I'm near Syracuse.
Okay, what's on your mind?
Okay, well, you mentioned cracker meal. It's excellent, excellent on fish. You don't need egg or you don't need anything to hold it.
I don't know how he did it. Richie just said, I'll make it for you in Alioto's, and he came back. I said, how is it so crisp with no oil in it? I never had it on a fish like that.
Yeah, it's wonderful like that. But anyway, I'm trying to get your book. They had it at our local supermarket as a book section. And
yeah.
Trying to save up for it. Now I almost got enough saved up for it.
Oh, no, you're getting a free copy. Come on, Howard. I don't want to take away your money for Cracker Meal.
Fine.
You're getting a free book. Come on now. You touched my heart. It's Thanksgiving. We're giving away books right through the holiday. Anyone who gets on the show gets a free one, you know. Come on. How do you want to do this? You want to do the pat-down deal? Again, the whole show, pat-down? Pat-down, pat-down. How about some racial profiling? Would that work for you? How about excluding nuns? Let's start with excluded groups. Nuns, children, boys in leg braces. Did you hear what they did to a boy with a leg brace last year? I had it on the show. A poor boy, 8 years old, is crippled, wearing, you know, like polio braces. You know, this is a very sensitive subject for me, given my family story. I have tremendous sympathy for the weak and the downtrodden, the real ones, not the fakers, not the healthy seniors with blue placards that say they're disabled. Don't get me started with them. I get violent when I see a healthy senior with a blue card taking a spot for a disabled person. And when I look at them with hate eyes, you see they get the cane and they hobble. I'll give them a hobble. So they have an 8-year-old boy. It's a heartbreaking story. The parents say, can we hold him through the screening? No, you got to let him go. The kid falls down to the floor in the airport. The vermin in TSA made the kid fall and cry on the floor. See, to me, this should be a lawsuit. You know, they get abusive like that. I mean, forget about touching your genitals. That's common behavior in San Francisco.
Savage.
Sing it, Frankie. Anyway, here we are. It's a different world. 2010. Look what we're going through. Bunch of sissies. The whole nation sitting with trembling knees. A group of Muslim fanatics attack us in 9/11. 10 years later, 9 years later, we're not even allowed to say Muslim or fanatic. You have to make believe your grandmother did it or a nun did it. You hear? Now we have a government turning on the people. It's like an autoimmune disease, the country today. Osama bin Laden gave us an autoimmune disease where the country turns on itself instead of destroying him and his cohorts. We have the weaponry, okay? We don't know exactly where he is. We know the general area. We know the general region. We have the weapons to destroy the general region with everything that takes in oxygen in it. But no, instead, give up your grandmother. Give up your nun. Give up your rabbi. Give up your children. And don't even say that the terrorist is a Muslim terrorist, or else you're liable to be called a bad person. You know, that's the world you're living in 9 years later. Let me ask you, who won the war? Who won the war, them or us? We got a government now making all of us into the... we're all guilty until proven innocent, and they're all innocent until proven guilty, and then they're innocent anyway. Who else should be excluded other than Muslims with hijabs? What a great way to get people to convert to Islam. The mass conversion as a result of this. You know, wear a hijab, walk right through. Who's next? Orthodox Jewish women, Catholic nuns excluded from the scanner? I said rape victims ought to be excluded. Molestation victims should be excluded. How about Holocaust survivors who were told to basically strip down before going into the showers? How about the children of Holocaust survivors who are traumatized by Hitler's killing machine? They should go through the scanner. It's terrifying. I hate it. I hate it. What a different world I live in. So he won, that's all. That's because we're a nation of ninnies, unwilling to use our weapons, our great weapons. We have men who could do it, but we don't have leadership. It's like the cops, the police out there. Some of the toughest, bravest, best people in the world are wearing blue uniforms, and they're always looking over their shoulder at the vermin in the legal profession. The drug addicts call lawyers, or the lawyers who are drug addicts, either one. So how do you deal with this problem is the issue. I don't have an answer for you other than don't fly. Okay? Girls don't fly. How's that? Instead of girls fly. Oh, by the way, take a guess who's scamming us on the scanners. Let's go into the detail of who's making money off the scanners. Let's get down to brass tacks. L3 Communications is one of the groups that provides scanners. And they employ three different lobbying firms, including Park Strategies, where former Senator Al D'Amato, former Republican of New York, works. Their scanner contract, $165 million to the Gov. Rapiscan got the other naked scanner contract from the TSA worth $173 million. And Rapiscan's lobbyists include Susan Carr, a former senior legislative aide to Rep. David Price, DNC, chairman of the Homeland Security Subcommittee. Now you understand why they want to get on these committees, right? An early TSA contractor. Well, I can go down the list. It's across the board. Republican and Democrat scam artists are involved. One of the biggest, in my opinion, is Michael Chertoff, the former head of the Homeland Security, deeply involved with Rapiscan, according to studies I've read. So there's money to be made. So first you scare people. Then you give a report while you're in the government. You put in the scanner. Everyone, oh, what a good idea, put in the scanner. And then you leave the government, thank you very much, and you go to work for the scanner company. That's how it works. So you could argue Osama bin Laden doesn't even exist. He did all of this in order to make a scanner money. You don't know anymore which way this all ends. You know what I'm saying? There's no way to know this hall of mirrors. The whole thing is a hall of mirrors. We don't know who is behind it now. How it's going to end. It's just like a crazed system. And you can't really blame Napolitano. She's incompetent, yes. She should have been replaced by now with someone who has real security experience. But she hasn't been. Apparently Obama doesn't want to replace her for whatever the reasons are. And I have nothing against her or for her. She's just incompetent. There were four near terrorist acts in 2009. She missed all of them. Just by accident, they were stopped. You know what I mean? Had nothing to do with TSA or LSMFT. Put in. You know what's interesting here is, you know who the head of the TSA is? Joe Pistone. Now, this is an interesting story. Remember there was a moron in charge of the TSA they had to get rid of? Some complete moron, doofus, idiot, who didn't know how to tie his own shoe, so they got rid of him? So they put in a certifiable FBI hero into TSA, Joe Pistone, and this gets worse now. Do you know who Joe Pistone is? You know by the name alone he knows what he's doing. Joe Pistone. Joe Pistone was the character in, I think he was the guy who was in Donnie Brasco was about Joe Pistone? I mix up the two. Yeah, the movie Donnie Brasco, which was a great movie, by the way, was about Joe Pistone, the FBI undercover agent. The guy knows his stuff. He's got, yaitzes that's an old German word for marbles of stone. play some rock and roll for me. Give me a lightning. Eddie, my love. How about Eddie, my love? I need a lightning up on a Tuesday. I need a leavening. I need some cornstarch. I need cornstarch. I need breadcrumbs. I need some nice breadcrumbs. I'm trying to resist eating dinner again tonight. If I eat like this every night, I'll be 250 pounds by 2011. I live a life like a monk, horribly bored after a show. Don't go anywhere. Just me and the dog looking out saying, what did I do wrong? Why am I not out there, you know, giving lectures? I mean, I could be all over the globe. Well, not all over the globe. I can't be in England. I could be all over America giving speeches. I don't do it. I don't like to travel. I don't like, you know, after a show. But when I do come out, it's I eat a lot. I drink too much. I eat too much. Mildly brioche, that's the stuff. You know what I'm saying? But I knew I'd pay for it today. I paid for it. Not by showtime. That's the beauty of late in the day radio. You can get away with murder the night before. I don't mean murder. You can get away with a big meal and a lot of wine because by the time the show comes around, your body has kicked it out already. Oh, if I had to do a morning show, oh, God, horrible. I had a mig on me by 3 in the morning. It was a criminal mig from the wine. I knew I shouldn't have done it. It was a tough day. I've had a rough couple of weeks. And I decided yesterday I was going to really let go. So here I am. I feel terrific, though. I feel terrific. I don't know what it is. The double lever ready, you know, the double lever ready at work. It's the peasant stock. It must be the immigrant peasant stock in me that works. There's something to be said for immigrant peasant stock. It works. There's nothing wrong with it. I don't want to be a blue blood. Look at Prince Charles. Take a look at him with the ears. Is that his son getting? I don't know who that kid is. What they're making? The girls are getting nuts about him on MSNBC. What is that? Every minute it's about another royal. I don't pay any attention to them. Why is that a big story? The royal this? Who gives a darn? Why do I care about some kid in England who was born into wealth? I think he even hates that he was born into wealth. If he got to do it all over again, I guarantee he'd rather go to a community college in Los Angeles and just go out with a chick from Sunset Boulevard and be left alone. Rangel convicted on ethics offenses. Here's Mike's guess. The congressional panel found him guilty on 11 counts of breaking rules. None of the newspapers say Democrat Rangel. It says New York lawmaker. If there was an R next to his name, Republican court! Republican court and ethics! He's like, Rangel, lawmaker now. Everything lawmaker, AP. No mention of Democrat. Poor Charlie Rangel. So now they have to go to the actual punishment. You know what that's going to be, don't you? You don't get to use a shopping cart at the airport for free. If you found, once we punish you, you can't use Dianne Feinstein's husband's shopping carts for free anymore with a cart pass. We take away your cart. face-to-face with Mecca. Known as the Hajj, the annual Islamic pilgrimage to Mecca's Grand Mosque draws 2.5 million visitors each year, making it the largest yearly gathering of people in the world. TSA pats down a screaming toddler. I see it's snowing in the Midwest. Snowing, but that's due to global warming. The global warming whack jobs are saying this proves there's global warming because although the glaciers are melting, that produces a double aspiration of warmer air that flies up into the atmosphere, comes down, and makes things colder. So, I understand the science. That's good. So whatever happens, they claim it's global warming, and you have to give money to, like, Zimbabwe in order to stop the how does that work? Do I have to give money to people in Africa to stop global warming? I don't understand that. How about stopping China from producing effluents? Would that work for you? The biggest polluter on Earth is China. How about starting with China and leaving me alone? We have about the cleanest industrial nation on Earth, which is why we're crippled and can't make a living here anymore. Everyone's so worried about pollution, they don't produce anything. All the people to produce is a website. So all America makes now is website and breadcrumbs. Las Vegas, Ken, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Ken?
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. God bless you and the work you do.
I try my best. I'm goofing around because enough is enough.
Yeah, I know. It gets to you after a while. But why don't they have dogs trained at these airports? It's less intrusive, and I don't see why these police agencies who are in cahoots with the TSA haven't made a money deal to do that.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's say a dog could do the job better sniffing for explosives. Here's the reason. A, you can't give a dog a pension. B, a dog can't vote for a Democrat. C, a dog can't sue for discrimination. Think of all of the people whose incomes are at stake if you put dogs in instead of TSA agents. You follow it?
Yeah, you got the reasoning down, I guess.
Well, I guarantee you that even if they did substitute dogs for scanners and touchers, you'd get the Muslims saying dogs are dirty. You can't let them sniff us either.
Well, maybe less Muslims would fly then.
Well, I don't know, but they would say the dogs are dirty. After all, and a religion that's so much better than everybody else, that Muslim cab drivers from Somalia and Milwaukee were given a pass. They don't even have to take blind people with seeing eye dogs in their cabs because they're such holy people. Did you know that, Ken?
Well, then why don't Muslims have their own airline? So they don't.
I don't know that. Some people have suggested it. Muslim Air, you know, with Muslim pilots and all Muslim TSA agents. And then they can have their own rules. I mean, people have asked that question. That's a legitimate question. And they could have halal food and everyone would be happy. And then you go your way, I go mine. It's never going to happen, but that's been suggested, as a matter of fact. I'm sending you a free copy of Flap Less, Coast More. I mean, Trickle Up Poverty, Stay on the Line. Oh, boy. So what's the better way to test for explosives than a pervert? Tell me a better way than a scanner or a perv. Look, not everyone in the TSA is a perv. There are a number of them mixed in. We saw what happened with the hiring. You know, but there are pervs in the business. But that's true for the school system and everywhere else. So what are you going to do? You know, pervs here, perv there, perv. We live in a sick society, over-sexualized. You're not going to suddenly get pure people in the TSA anymore. You're going to get pure people in anything. Pelosi faces challenge from Barbara Lee, of all people. Did you hear this story? This you're not going to believe. Congressional Black Caucus refuses to endorse House Speaker Pelosi as minority leader because they seek more power for Rep. James Clyburn. This is a real mutiny. I mean, when you see the Black Caucus going off the script here, and they're challenging Pelosi, and they want their own guy in the leadership, she is in trouble because tomorrow she's going to get a secret ballot tomorrow, if you can believe it. Pelosi's getting a secret ballot vote on her tomorrow. That's amazing she even allowed that. That's not in her in the culture of Nancy Pelosi, secret ballots. She expected to win with broad support from liberals despite open rebellion among conservative liberal government grumbling for some more liberal members. So that's an interesting story. So I hope she wins. I'm praying, go Nancy, go. I want her in there. I want her in there. I want her in there in the worst way. I really want her in there. I can't wait to read tomorrow that she won again, Nancy Pelosi. Because, I mean, what's the election going to be in 2012 without her? What if you had a decent, fair-minded individual in there who wasn't sort of dictatorial and a mad woman? Think of all of the fun we've had because of Nancy Pelosi. What better poster child is there for everything wrong with this government than Nancy Pelosi?
Once again, as a mother and a grandmother, I ask for a recorded vote.
That's not. What else do you have in the sound department, Phil? Oh, the hammer. I hammer in the morning. A whip. I like the whip one. The whip one I like. See if you can dig up the whip. The whip is a good one. That's a cue. Whip. The whip one, Phil. How come it's so slow for you to find it? I think all you press is whip, Pelosi.
I never stop whipping. There's no beginning, there's no middle, and there's no end. My life is a constant whip operation.
I mean, it's frightening. If she doesn't typify everything wrong with the Democrats, I'd like to know who does. I'll be right back. It's a mad, 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 mad world. It's getting crazier by the Obama second. Let's go. This TSA thing is the big story. No matter how I try to talk about breadcrumbs and Gainsborough blue skies, it's all you want to talk about. So let's go for it. Joe in Hawaii, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. That's right. I did a little inter-island trip recently, and I went ahead and took your book with me. I borrowed it from a coworker. And when I went through their scanners, I took it out of my backpack, and I put it right there in the little bucket to send through the x-ray machine. And you know that little flat tire cynical thing that people do? I got a flat tire from the TSA guy.
What do you mean a flat tire?
You know when people give you the old, and they do that little thing with their breath? They give you the little...
an exclamation of breath?
Exactly. It's just pathetic, Michael. I am my blood.
Did they burn the book? Because they could decide that it's a subversive book that's a threat unto itself. Maybe the next step for the TSA is to stop people from going on planes who are reading conservative books.
They would have had to throw me in jail, Michael. I would not have allowed that. And as far as I'm concerned, these TSA employees that are committing these molestations against my American brethren are traitors to their country. And I say, give me liberty.
Well, you know, the girls and I would come back from the bowling alley. We had a bacon last night, and we were using a trickle-up poverty book. So we got a bunch of them at the airport that we seized, and we burn up the pages. We use them for a kind of breadcrumb on the hot dogs. So there's a good use for that book. Very high in iron, you know, very high. Now, I found in the ink, there's a lot of iron in the ink. Look, all I can do is make a joke out of this. What else am I supposed to do? What's your solution, though?
Yeah, it's give me liberty or give me death, Michael, and I am so serious about that right now, just like a lot.
Well, all right, the threat of nationalization. Here, they've nationalized security at the airports, And now we see what Marxism has wrought. What is a better example of Obama's nationalism, nationalization, as we are moving towards a Bolivarian socialist revolution of the type that Hugo Chavez has created in Venezuela, where he puts rank amateurs in charge of businesses and now in charge of the TSA, and the people are now basically rebelling?
That's right. That's right, Michael. And they try to tell you, oh, the flight is a privilege. It's a privilege to get on that private airplane. Well, the TSA is a federal organization. We're talking about federal violation of my
country. Oh, yeah. What else is a privilege that the government had nothing to do with creating?
That's right.
What else are they going to claim is a privilege? The written word is now going to be a privilege? And they're going to say that we have a right to ban any kind of written word we want because it may be a threat to the social order? I mean, maybe George Soros would approve of that. That certain books upset the social order. After all, like in China, they don't let certain books be printed, right?
That's right. I thought it would be easier to watch the destruction of my country, Michael, but I'm having a very, very hard time with it, and I'm very angry.
All right. I can't say anything other than I'm sending you another copy because yours was touched by a TSA agent, which may now be contaminated. You may want to take the book that they manhandled to a hazmat facility. 1-800-449-8275. MichaelSavage.com. What a horrible situation going into Thanksgiving. That's why I keep the van. I keep the Chevy van, the 05 Chevy van, with the captain seats in it, the leather captain's chairs. It's got a 32-inch television in it that gets no reception. You got to pay $50 a month direct TV. To turn on the TV in the car. Since I'm not in, I have no TV in it. But you can run a DVD. Who wants to watch TV like a moron in a car? I don't know. The whole thing is no good. The travel's no good. I'm like an old world guy. Remember the character in The Godfather they flew in for the trial? And he went right back to Italy that night. Didn't even have a meal. That's how I feel most of the time. There's no reason to go anywhere.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here, you know, we're not doing this just to do it. We're doing it because we need to keep powders and gels and liquids off of planes that are unauthorized, just as we need to keep metals off of planes. Now, this is being done in recognizing that collective role in our security.
I'm in love again. I had enough of this. Come on. Gainsborough Blue Bays and breadcrumbs on the Savage Nation. Yeah, I do. There's always money involved. I know where this is going to go. People are going to argue that Osama bin Laden doesn't exist. That the whole World Trade Center was created just to create the TSA so that L3 Communications, RapiScan, and the American Science and Engineering Company could provide scanner machines and money could be kicked up to former legislators. That's all. This seems to have exploded on the show. Every show, that's all anyone's talking about. TSA this, TSA that. I'm almost sorry I started this 2 years ago when I just jokingly said I don't fly. I've told you that. I was the first one. Now look what I've started. It's like a Frankenstein. This has exploded. Because you gotta take it in for a minute. Yeah, of course it's invasive. Of course you feel raped. And of course you don't want to go through it, but how would you do it? Now, one guy called in the last hour and said, why don't they use dogs, sniffer dogs? And I gave the reason why they use TSA agents instead of dogs. One, a dog can't vote for a Democrat. Not yet, anyway. And eventually I would think that Charlie Rangel will find a way for a dog paw to be put on a ballot and count as a legitimate vote, since illegal aliens vote and put people back in office. Why not? You know, that's the next step. Two, you cannot give a dog a pension. Three, you can't insult a dog and have the dog sue, thereby denying lawyers jobs. There's many reasons you can't employ dogs instead of TSA agents, which is like the old joke, you know, Irish and dogs need not apply, which is no joke to an Irish person at that time. But you don't want to know about that. You want to think only selective minority groups have gone through through hell in this country. Every group had a hazing. It's just now they come in, they want to own the country the first minute they set foot on the soil. And that's what the people are kicking back against here in the middle class. So I'm sitting here watching the world go by. Do you have the Beatles playing "I'm Sitting Here Watching the World Go By"? I don't know if I want to talk about this anymore. How much TSA talk can we have in one day? Well, you want to talk about Soros saying China has a better government? I did that already, too. Sitting here watching the world go round. What a beautiful tune. I myself didn't like the Beatles when they were out. It's funny. It's like years later, you could see the beauty of the music. I wasn't into it. Not at all. Stocks are in the toilet. Murdoch warns of China economic prowess. Him too? China buys up more U.S. debt. That's terrific. That's great. That is really great that the China's buying up more U.S. debt. They own us. Lock, stock, and over the barrel. You know, this is a bad situation because this leads to war. Trade war is next. And that's how World War II began. If you don't think World War II was over economics, you're mistaken. If you don't think the Civil War was over economics, you don't know history. It was a North-South trade war, incidentally, that started the Civil War. People say that it was always all about slavery. It was not all about slavery. It was all about a trade war between the North and the South. So now we're reaching that point again, which is a terrible situation. Just awful. Now, we're distracted with the body scans and the touching. Don't touch me. Do touch me. Don't exhibit me. Do exhibit me. Don't make it into pornography. Don't touch a nun. Let a Muslim have a pass. You can go out of your mind from all of this. And we're supposed to sit down like and have a turkey next week when we all feel like a turkey. Most of us have been reduced to turkeys under Obama and Janet Napolitano. They've reduced us to nothing more than a turkey. They put us on low defrost every time you want to go on a flight, right? Put it on low defrost, Jolly. Here comes a cracker from the Midwest. Put it on high defrost for him. Now, Murdoch is warning of China economic prowess. Him too? Is he opening up outlets out there? They're going to send Wallbanger to China next? I mean, Wallbanger's probably in Crawford, Texas now, crawling on his hands and knees for GW for the book tour. Murdoch warns of China economic prowess. The U.S. faces an immense economic challenge from China's explosive economic growth. Free trade has gotten a bad rap, and President Obama will have trouble getting reelected. News Corp Chairman and CEO Robert Murdoch of Fox Business on the Dwight Rennick interview. Well, he's right about all of that. What was really scary, Murdoch, I don't like the word scary. He's such an intelligent man, so powerful. I don't like scary. That's like a child's word. Okay. Was when Larry Summers, the chief economic advisor, said, when we look back at the end of the century, people are not going to talk about this recession. They're going to talk about the rise of China. All right. Well, we gave them the rise. You think China rose by itself? China rose because of traitors within who gave China the ability to screw us over. So now Murdoch is saying that we've got to use free trade here. Again, free trade, free trade, free trade. More free trade. That's wrong. I believe Murdoch is wrong. It may advantage him, it may advantage other billionaires in some regard, but it will not necessarily advantage the United States of America to push more free trade. I think we need tariffs, as I say, and trickle-up poverty. And what does he have to say about the Tea Party, Mr. Murdoch? Oh, good. He said they're not extremists, they're moderate centrists. They simply say that we ought to have a balanced budget with a smaller government. Good for him. I read somewhere... I read somewhere that Obama's like losing it, like he doesn't pay it. Did you find that story? I read it today. I was scanning. It said that Obama's staff are reporting he's out of touch. He walks out on meetings. He watches daytime sports for hours a day. I don't know if it's true. I read this. But he is going on another vacation to Portugal this weekend. Got to keep that Air Force One flying. He doesn't have to be body scanned or touched. Does Jenna Napolitano get to be scanned or touched when she flies? I don't think so. I think she's allowed to, like, waltz right through. All right. Well, I'm a private group here. Set aside here. All right, people, get set aside. We're going to go on a little bowling expedition here. We're flying off to Denver for a little for R&R. We're going to check out the bowling lanes. And we got to put them aside. Turn off the scanner. Turn the scanner off. No touching here. This group is... All right, they're with me. Let them right through. It's like a rope. It's like the velvet rope now. Who gets touched? Who doesn't get touched? Who gets scanned? Who doesn't get scanned? It's becoming like a nightclub. It's like who gets a dispensation to not get scanned or touched? All right, you go to that side. It's like the showers. It's frightening for Holocaust survivors. You know what I mean? Men here, women there. You go through, you don't go through. You go in the showers, you don't go in. This is awful. There's got to be a better way. Dogs are not a bad idea. Is there a security expert who can tell us, let's be realistic, can a dog do the job? Can a dog sniff all sorts of explosives, even liquid explosive? I mean, they use them for the drugs. They got a good nose on them. 200X, our nose. Can a dog do it or not? My dog, I use him as my sniffer. I like to hold a little guy up in my arms. I really get a kick out of it. I hold him up in my arms where his head is like at my level, and I look at him, and he puts his head back up. You see him smelling? I love that. He opens up the nares, and in comes molecules I don't even detect. And he's looking like he got the thousand-yard stare, and he's looking at something. And I see the head go, and I look at him like I try to communicate. I say, what do you smell, Teddy? What do you smell? And he looks at me. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how they do this thing. How does an elephant, for example, smell water hundreds of miles away when water is odorless? Can you figure that one out? How does an elephant detect water hundreds of miles away when water is odorless? Well, it's for survival, yes, but what survival sense did they hyperdevelop? I'd like to know. Would they hit the ground? They tap it? They get like a sonar from the earth? They can tell? I can't believe it's tapping. It's got to be some kind of smell. Which animal has the best smell? Maybe we could put them at the airport. What if we wound up with elephants instead of TSA agents? What if it turns out the elephant is the best has the best nose? Would you subject yourself to an elephant sniffing your privates? I mean, that's the question. I'll be right back. Savage.
Has recommended that Muslim women wearing hijabs refuse to go through the full body pat-downs before boarding planes.
Play elephants again when she comes back
after she talks. Will you insist that they do go through full body pat-downs before boarding planes?
Look, we have, like I said before, we are doing what we need to do to protect the traveling public, and adjustments will be made where they need to be made.
Yeah, we understand that the TSA is going to bring in elephants now because they have a keen sense of smell. Wasn't bad enough that they're doing genital grabbing now. The TSA, they're going to bring the elephant in to give the sniff. Look, I got to laugh at things. I mean, things can get a lot worse, and they will. Trust me on this. We have incompetent lunatics in charge of everything, like Geithner in Treasury, who can't even sell his own house in Rockaway. We have Napolitano, who let the illegal aliens run all over Arizona and then was rewarded for it by becoming Homeland Security Director. How much crazier does it have to get than this? An unknown junior senator from Illinois, now president, flying around and being humiliated all over the globe. So now every time you do read a China this, China that, China that. Why are we glorifying China? What kind of country is this that every businessman is now looking up and saluting a dictatorship? I want beautiful relations with communist China. I don't want to see any kind of hostilities emerge. But it doesn't require that we become a humiliated nation, does it? Must we be a humiliated nation without any sense of dignity in order to do business with China? I say impose tariffs. You want to get down to brass tacks? You think that I'm just a jokester? I'm not serious? You're wrong. Trickle Up Poverty is a best-selling book for a reason. I have severe, severe ideas. They are severe. And one of them is tariffs with China. And I put it out against China. I know that, oh, it'll start a trade war. Only all the people who are saying it'll start a trade war are those who are going to lose the most themselves. It's not that there's going to be a trade war. It means that they'll lose money. Where is this? Reduce the size of government, close the borders, English only, liquidate TARP, fire Janet Napolitano. I had that in there. Use profiling to prevent terror attacks. Here, clause 11 in the Savage Manifesto. Use profiling to prevent terror attacks. Tell me if you agree with this or not. The attempted terrorist plots in our own soil follow a definite pattern. All these acts were carried out by radical Muslims. Shrewd police work requires common sense. If acts of terror repeatedly come from people who practice a certain religion, and if all these acts are in accord with some twisted notion of their holy book, prudent police work would dictate that we immediately employ national, if not religious, profiling to stop the next terrorist before he or she succeeds. Point 11, name the enemy. Rewrite the rules of engagement. Save the Navy SEALs. Reinforce the military infrastructure. Pay raise for active military duty, for active duty combat troops. Number 18, impose tariffs on China. Okay, it's two sentences long. We must draw a line in the sand with regard to China in order to loosen their stranglehold on our economy by imposing a 20% tariff on all goods produced in China. That tariff should be raised by 5% each year that China refuses to revalue its currency. Now, you want to have this discussion? Let's have the discussion. So what happens? Okay, they put tariffs on our goods. They already put tariffs on our goods. How? By arbitrarily controlling their currency and producing goods at a lower price. Schmuck. You cannot have free trade when you're paying union workers $50 to $80 an hour with benefits in America, and they're making a dollar an hour somewhere else, or $10 a day somewhere else. Don't buy this garbage of the mega trillionaires who are telling you that without free trade, we're all going to go into a trade war. I don't believe it. Let's carry it out in the area of automobiles, okay? We put tariffs on cars made abroad. Volvo, Jaguar from India is made by, I forget the motor company, it's owned by India. And Volkswagen, Mercedes. You put a tariff on cars made abroad. What happens is people are going to have tariffs. We're going to have tariffs put on American cars, which is very bad for a company like General Motors, which has a very big sale of Buick in China, for example. So that would be a tariff back on them, and they lose sales in China. There's no question about it. You say, well, we have to close our factories in China. Good, then you'll have to open them here. How's that? Does that work for you? Toyota, instead of the ships coming in filled with cars made in Japan, I see them going by my eye every day here on San Francisco Bay. I sit in wonderment. I see the ships coming in laden to the waterline and going out empty, carrying scrap metal and hay. The only thing they buy from us is scrap metal and hay. The same way the Japanese bought scrap metal from us in the 1930s to build bombs and bullets, China is devouring our scrap metal. Did you know that? Oh, there's so many things I don't let out, because I don't want to talk about everything I know. I talk about things that I feel I can get out in a popular manner, like Will Rogers with the lariat here. There's only so much you can absorb that I want to get out. I'm a boater. I see things that other people don't see. So when I take my boat down the Alameda Channel on the East Bay of the San Francisco Bay, I see there's a certain conveyor belts that are running 24/7, picking up scrap metal from the United States of America, loading them onto ships going to China. Then they're making goods with our scrap metal. Meanwhile, our scrap metal stores are being depleted. So now we're buying bullets from China for our military. How do you like that? You like that one? Maybe soon we'll buy our ships from China and our submarines and our airplanes. After all, we'll hear an argument from Charles Schumer or Dianne Feinstein that they can make a better plane at a lower price. And there's no point in fighting with our best friends in China. Maybe Sandy Berger and the others who are lobbying for China can come out and tell us it's a better deal to have them run our military altogether. Have Mr. Gates resign and have a Chinese general run the military. He can do it more efficiently. Maybe that's coming in a few months.
Savage.
All right, we're all excited over the touching and the feeling and the scanning at the TSA. Everyone's excited, but no one's come up with an alternative other than, dogs. But You know what's going to happen from all of this groping is that kids are going to go from playing doctor to playing TSA. Hi, Betty. You want to play TSA? Sure, Bobby. How does it work? Well, Betty, you show me yours and I won't show you mine. That's how it works. I got to make jokes out of everything. What do you want from me? I'm going to sit here and get a heart attack over this? I made that up during the break, so you lighten up a bit. No, but I can see the kids picking up the game called TSA. You show me yours and I won't show you mine. That's all. We're coming back from the bowling alley, you know, and we hit a deer on the road. It was late at night. We come out of the tavern. We had a bunch of drinks, and we hit a deer. We had to get out and skin the buck alive. We had to call Sarah Palin in Alaska to get some tips. The girls knew how to gut a deer, but we didn't know how to skin them. Flap less, coast more. Let's go to the callers. Wisconsin Jimmy, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. Hey, I've got issue I'd like to talk to you about. And it's about the young guys out in San Diego graduating from Marine Corps boot camp. My son graduated in July, and I've got another son graduating this weekend, and my wife is flying out. And when we were out there in July, I just thought it was kind of appalling that these young men have just graduated from boot camp, and they go to the airport, and they have to take their jackets off, take their belts off.
Awful. And they have to subject themselves to a low-life throwback. A low-life throwback gets to frisk your hero son, who's going to give his life, offer his life up to protect the country. I get it. I hear you. It sickens me.
I mean,
so Jimmy, what's the solution?
What's the solution? Hey, if anybody's got to do it, I mean, if they have to go through it, then everybody should have to do it. It's just it's the price of traveling. If you want to fly, then...
Well, you mean the government? Your government should go through it. Pelosi, they don't go through it. You're saying they should be strip searched and see how it is what you're saying.
Absolutely. Use common sense. If you're near a Marine Corps base where the guys are getting out of boot camp, you can tell a Marine when they get out of boot camp. Then why not show them
Right. And you could have, let's say, a group leader take the entire group through the screening and wave them through, correct?
Absolutely.
You could say there's 20 guys here in this unit. We've screened them before they came through here. Okay? We've screened them at the base. We're taking responsibility. We're waving them through. I hear you. Jimmy, I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty for your hero son. Thank you very much for all you're doing for the country. Thank you very much. Chicago Mike, is there a better way to test for bombs? Mike, go ahead, please.
Yes, sir, there is. I traveled from Iraq to Jordan and into Israel. They profiled me because of my travels. I was asked to step into a booth. A puff of air analyzed if I had any trace explosive elements on me. I had not, and I was cleared. They have these machines. In the United States, they choose not to use them because they would rather...
You know, it's interesting. I had a sniffer machine at one of the airports a few months ago where they gave a puff. That's right. How come they're not using the sniffer machines?
Because they'd rather hire a degenerate to grope you and stare at your family's genitals.
That's right. I remember they sniffed my shoes. I don't admire the person who had to do it. I mean, that's a... See, now, for sniffing shoes, I'd like to see a TSA agent have to be doing that one. I like to see a TSA agent have to sniff my bowling shoes after a couple of rounds. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get worked up. You know, I was reading the the Holy Book, and I found Obama in there, and I found Napolitano in the Holy Book. I found them all. It's in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 4. I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Hey, babe, how you doing, man? And the people shall oppress one another, every man his fellow and every man his neighbor. This is right out of the Bible. And the people shall oppress one another, every man his fellow and every man his neighbor. Sounds like the TSA, right? The child shall behave insolently against the aged, and the base against the honorable. Huh? Isn't that what that caller just said? The honorable Marine is being abused by the base. For a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, thou hast a mantle, be thou our ruler, blah, blah, blah. So, there it is. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. Now, whether you want to go that far is one thing, but if you want to look at the poetry per se and you don't believe in religion, look at it in terms of poetry. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. So his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship, to the moles and to the bats. It's a lot of interesting, you know, metaphors in here. You can take some of it for life lessons, or you can take all of it as the gospel. It depends upon where you're at, or you can reject it all and you wind up being a man without any center whatsoever. But what do you believe in if you believe in nothing? Common sense, decency? So let's deal with common sense. So let's say put aside religion. How would you deal with the TSA situation from the point of view of common sense and decency when you know that government officials are given waivers? Now they're going to give waivers to Muslims because the bellyachers and cab raised that issue. This has got to stop. It's either all or none. And I believe that one of the steps to be taken would be every member of Congress has to go through the search right up to the highest level. They must be scanned. You see, if we had a legitimate, decent president, let me be very honest with you. If we had a real leader instead of the junior senator that we have, you know what he would do? He sees there's a rebellion growing again. They don't see it. They can't smell it from 10 miles away. The Tea Party, they dismissed as a bunch of crackpots, cranks. Look what happened. They lost 60 seats, right? This rebellion could get out of hand. And what a president would do who's a real leader of a real nation, I mean of a nation, you know what he'd say? He'd get up and give a speech about this tomorrow. And he'd say, I understand that America is conflicted over this. We have a very difficult situation. We have to deal with this. And to prove to you that I'm with you on this, I'm going to put a screening device on the tarmac. And before I get on Air Force One, I'm going to go through the screening device myself. Don't you think that would mollify a lot of people's fears about radiation? Don't you think it would humanize this distant narcissist president that we have and make him one with the people? But he won't do it. He doesn't have to, and he doesn't want to. And so this rebellion will likely grow. It will grow just like the Tea Party grew. In fact, if you want to take the acronym TSA and put in Tea Party and play with the other two initials, be my guest. Tea Party. How about the Tea Party Security Agency? How about the Tea Party takes control of airport security? Probably do a better job. Houston, Texas. Catherine, you're on the Savage Nation.
Sabrina? No. No.
Sabrina, Catherine, you're on the radio. I don't know who Sabrina is. Catherine, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm so sorry. I am in the travel business. And
yes.
I travel a lot for my job, as a matter of fact. And while I don't like this at all, there is no other alternative. And if it's going to keep me safe on an airplane, then by golly, I'm going to close my eyes and hold my breath and go through it. And I think everybody else just needs to calm down. I mean, what's the alternative?
You know, I've been asking, Catherine, I've been asking that all day. And one alternative was the dogs as a sniffer. Another one was a sniffer device that's not intrusive, that sniffs various, let's say, clothing articles or whatever for the scent of explosives. I've actually had that done to my shoes somewhere. Well, they don't have to do the x-ray or the pat-down, apparently. This is not the only method to do it, Catherine. I think that this is a very healthy discussion.
Excellent.
Thank you for the call. No, well, we're trying to come to another conclusion here, some other conclusion. Sacramento, John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm laughing. I took this off here. You're on a roll today. I've got several things. The first thing is you ask for alternatives. But let me tell you why the scanners are being used versus other methods. I've been in the investment business. I'm from the South Bronx. I've raised money for new technologies. The reason they're being done this way is because, let's face it, if I'm going to install scanners in airports, maybe that's a couple hundred thousand. If the public becomes desensitized to the technology, and then I can get governments in the United States to issue mandates that they be installed in libraries, schools, and everywhere else, that's hundreds of thousands of orders. The only thing holding it back is these manufacturing companies want to make sure the public will accept the invasion of their privacy.
Oh, yeah, they could next put them in post offices and make billions of dollars. Rapiscan, L3, and American Science and Engineering. So there's a little money involved here, huh?
Exactly, and that's why the lobbyists and the manufacturers, who are the smart ones, the knuckle-draggers like Janet DiPaolo are being used by them, because the people who have to manufacture these things are smart. They have to make a living. They have to make a profit. They know what it takes. The politicians are just going along because they're being fed information that the money...
Well, take a look at who's lobbying for these companies. L3 Communications employs lobbying firms, including one where former Senator Al D'Amato, Republican New York, works. Their contract is worth $165 million. Rapiscan has a contract with the TSA worth $173 million. They have former lobbyists from a Democrat out of North Carolina. So you go on and on. There it is. Excuse me. So there's always money involved. The whole thing is now turned into a money machine. The whole security business is now a money machine. I mean, the most stunning thing for me was to read that Chertoff went from Homeland Security Director to being an advisor to one or to Rapiscan. You saw that one, huh?
Absolutely, and it's being done that way because this technology was driven from the military. The lobbyists for the military developed the see-through technology. Now it's going to be incorporated into the marketplace, but you've got to get the public to accept it, so that's where the push is. Because let's face it, $160 million, $170 million, that's peanuts if you start expanding
yes.
that marketplace into the billions where it could go, and that's really...
Every school, every post office, there's no end to it.
Exactly right, and let me tell you the solution. You're right, Michael. It's really reverse, not profiling. It's reverse profiling, not mandating that public officials entering any public building be screened, because the only difference between a public building and an airplane is the fact that the airplane's in the air, so it becomes really mandatory. But any member of Congress could go, Meshuggah, strap some bombs and walk in and blow up a building, a public building. What's the difference?
Right, so why doesn't Congress say we're going to be screened and touched on the way into our offices to show that we're just the people like everyone else? Why must they act like they're a separate breed? That's part of the distemper in America today, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I mean, what's to prevent some...
Well, what do you think about my joke that kids are going to soon be going from playing doctor to playing TSA? Was that funny?
The whole thing's funny. The elephants are a riot. I love the thing about the... I always get a kick out of when you start talking about the elderly with the blue placards in the windshield. And then you give them the dirty look, and they start pulling out the canes. So I'm laughing my head off.
How many of them have you seen? It's terrible. They get out. They're sprightly running to the dining room. And if you look at them, I've actually stopped and said, "What's wrong with you?" And I've seen them suddenly. They grab their back and they go, and they grab a cane from inside the car.
Oh my God! I'm from the South Bronx. I'm out here in California now, and every time I see one of those blue placards, sometimes I deliberately wait by the car to see what the hell's going to get in that car, and I give them a piece of my mind if it looks like...
Oh, good. That's right. You got to. We're the only people left on Earth who still say anything. Yeah, there's so many different scams, so many different ways, John. So you're stranded in Sacramento. What do you do up there?
Well, I'm in investment banking, so what I do is I'm involved in Silicon Valley stuff out in San Jose, but there's a lot going on in Reno as well because of the no tax.
I like Reno, the biggest little city on Earth.
Yep, exactly.
Reno's a very misunderstood town. We should talk about Reno one day. John, I'm going to send you trickle-up poverty, even though you don't need it. Give it to a poor Democrat in your neighborhood for Thanksgiving. It's a good stocking stuffer, trickle-up poverty. You need a big stocking, though. Play the elephant sound for me. I love elephants. Do you know that I have a soft spot for elephants. I love those creatures. If I could, I'd have a pet elephant, but I don't think they'd fit in my cottage. That's the problem, my broadcast cottage. I mean, Teddy sleeps in the bed with me, but he's 10 pounds. I don't think the elephant would find a very happy home in here. All that hay and those feet. Do you know that I have a placard from the international, I don't know the name of the group, that I gave money to them and they moved an entire herd of elephants that was saved from poachers because of a donation I made? It's one of the proudest things I've done in my life. You won't find that in the Wikipedia entry on Michael Savage. The vermin leftists from hell only enter the things that make me look bad. I'm going to find the name of the group. It's one of the proudest things I ever did. Dear Michael Savage, your donation of X dollars helped us move an entire herd of elephants from, I think, Rwanda into Botswana. And you saved, you know, like 40 elephants from the guns of the poachers. I was so proud of that. What a worthwhile cause. I mean, these people, you know, they do have armies, by the way, who fight the poachers. They kill them when they catch them in Africa. Don't underestimate that one. They hunt them and kill them because they kill these elephants for the ivory. You know who gets the ivory, don't you? Your friends in China. Oh, you didn't know that? Oh, you didn't know that? All the nice people in China that Tommy Friedman loves so much, Soros loves so much, They leave the elephant dying on the ground and rip the tusks out of their head. It's enough to rip your heart out. International Fund for Animal Welfare, wonderful group. I'm going to give them another donation for this year. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, this just came out. My good friend Dr. Jack Sarfati, who's on the computer doing physics, just sent this to me. The head of the TSA, this is breaking news, just told the Senate Homeland Security Committee that there will be no break on airport screening for religious reasons. No break for religious reasons. So the pressure from CARE did not work. TSA says airline passengers won't get out-of-body imaging screening or pat-downs based on their religious beliefs. Good for him. TSA Chief John Pistole told the Senate Homeland Security Committee today that passengers who refuse to go through a full-body scanner machine and reject the pat-down won't be allowed to board, even if they turn down the in-depth screening for religious reasons. Pistole said that person is not going to get on an airplane in response to a question from Senator John Ensign, Republican of Nevada, on whether the TSA will provide exemptions for passengers with religious beliefs. Do not allow them to go through a physically revealing body scan or be touched by screeners. Civil rights groups contend the more intensive screening violates civil liberties, blah, blah. So it's turned into a hysteria right now. We all agree that there's problems here. But I'm going to tell you something right now. One of the civil liberties groups pushing this and suing the TSA is a group of rat liberal, the Electronic Privacy Information Center. I know them because they've come after me. So many of you on the right don't even realize you're being manipulated by left-wing fanatics. There's a very strong sense right now that the public attitude on the airport body scanner program has swung dramatically, said Mark Rottenberg, director of the Electronic Privacy Information Center. You know what I say, Mark? Don't fly. Just stay home with your hateful little left-wing friends. Don't fly, Mark. They don't give any alternative. They set off a panic in the country. And the whole conservative movement now is behind the left wing on this without any solution. What's the solution then? We've come up with the whole story. Dogs, sniffers, elephants, you know, make the president go through a sniffer machine so he sees what it's like. EPIC is urging, now this is the left wing troublemaking anarchist vermin, urging air travelers to take part in the national opt-out day the day before Thanksgiving. Go to hell. Go to hell, Mark. I think you should be thrown in jail as far as I'm concerned. This is not civil liberties. This is civil anarchy. And it was all started by the Electronic Privacy Information Center. That's who did it. So you people who are conservatives are rightly concerned about government intrusion, but you're being manipulated by these left-wing vermin. Okay? You got to understand where this is coming from. Well, at least we learned today that Pistole, who I lauded at the beginning of the show, we all know Napolitano, but she's not the head of the TSA. He is. It's true. He works for her. But he is the head of the TSA, and this guy is as good as they get. TSA Chief John Pistole said that no religious beliefs, none of that malarkey is going to work. You don't like it, don't fly, in other words. You know what? Take a walk, go make a prayer, but you're not getting on the plane. In plain English. That's the way the movie's written. You don't like it, Johnny, take a walk. You're not going on the airplane. Go sue me. You know what I mean? Go to CAR and sue me. Shove it up your pipe. Get out of here. Take a walk. Go put your holy robe on the airplane. I'm not letting you on. That's all. I think that's great. But before you panic now and start running, oh, government this, government that, what do you want them to do? What do you want them to do? You don't like it, then don't fly. That's the price we have to pay for being a civil society. Don't let the left wing manipulate you.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Listen up. guys, this is amazing. What a day. Body scans. Who's making money off the scanners? You know there's always money involved. For all I know, some of it's going back to Osama bin Laden. It's like a shakedown. You know, it's like the original shakedown racket from Al Capone. Like, we'll provide security after they break a window. They throw a stone through a brick through a window. Then they come around and say, we can prevent that if you hire us for security. How do we know Osama bin Laden's not behind the TSA? Oh, God. You know, I tell you the truth. I don't know who to believe anymore. Today I woke up and read that George Soros says, China has a better functioning government than the United States. I swear to God. He joins the arch-socialist liberal of the New York Times and other America haters. And he said, there is a really remarkable rapid shift of power and influence from the United States to China, Soros said. And he likened the U.S.'s decline to that of the United Kingdom after the Second World War. Listen to this. And then he said, at times China wields more power than the U.S. because of the political gridlock in Washington. You see, dictatorships don't have gridlock, do they?
Oh, no. They're completely free of any political difficulties like that at all.
The gears run smoothly. I mean, Mussolini had a smooth-running machine.
He made the trains
Hitler
run
had a
on
smooth-running
time.
Machine, didn't he?
Absolutely. They made the trains run on time. There was no political difficulty. Everything went smoothly. It was a well-oiled machine.
So the international socialist puppeteer Soros goes on and says, today, China has not only a more vigorous economy, but actually a better functioning government than the United States.
Jesus.
Then they add, a hard statement for him to make, because he spent much of his life donating to anti-communist groups in Eastern Europe. Really? Really? Isn't that interesting? So, in other words, our clunky government is no longer in favor amongst the international socialists. It's too clunky for them. After all, Soros may be investigated for his hedge fund manipulations, right? And perhaps he ought to move his holdings to China, where he might be safer, Beowulf.
Yeah, maybe he'll soon buy a compound outside of Shanghai. You know, it's an elaborate sort of thing where he can hang
well,
out.
Shanghai, I like Shanghai street noodles myself.
He can eat those anytime he wants.
Wrangle guilty of ethics charges. Yeah, right. You know what'll come of it, don't you?
Yeah, go back.
Does Wrangle have to go through a body scan when he gets on a plane? Well, no, let's put it this way. Remember, what was his name? The national security advisor under Clinton, who got caught with the secret documents in his
Sandy
underwear?
Sandy Berger, that's right.
If they body scanned Sandy Berger, what would they find in his underwear?
That's a very good question. Probably more secret documents. I wouldn't be surprised.
Probably secret documents in place of private parts. You know, it's an interesting question. Why don't they body scan all members of Congress?
Oh, that, and put and them see, on public display.
Yeah, put them on public display just to see how many of them are actually human. We may find out that they're extra. Some of them are ETs. You know, the only shovel-ready project in America is the amount of you-know-what in Congress. Now, there's a shovel-ready project.
Here, here.
So Big Sis is now putting TSA's hands-down flyer's pants. Oh, this is getting sicker by the day. But then we know who she is, right?
Yeah. You should hear the way she evades the question of whether Muslim women are going to be getting an exemption to that sort of pat-down.
Well, the biggest story yesterday was that the head of the United Kingdom military, if you want to call him that, if there is one, he said that the war is unwinnable, that nobody can beat the Al-Qaeda. They can't be beaten. Now, did you read that Obama's set to leave on another foreign trip?
That's right. He said Portugal, right?
Yeah. Next test for weakened Obama. If President Obama is not yet convinced that his international star power has faded, his next round of transatlantic summitry should clear up any lingering doubts. Coming off a marathon Asia trip where Obama often found himself rebuffed by fellow world leaders, he will head to Europe this week, where the agenda will be clouded by a growing divide over economic strategy and a sense of neglect among traditional U.S. allies. It will not be easy for Obama, whose demon cat party suffered heavy losses in the last election. He will not be able to easily dispel the impression that his stature has been diminished on the world stage. He will attend back-to-back NATO and European Union summits in Lisbon on Friday and Saturday. Wow. I wonder if they'll eat ice cream in Lisbon. Lisbon. Lisbon.
Well, his last meeting with the Russian president turned out great. Maybe he'll give away some more of our nukes.
Well, he needs to be loved. German Finance Minister Wolfgang Schäuble took the rhetoric to a new level this month when Schäuble said the Federal Reserve's decision to print $600 billion, that is, pump $600 billion into the U.S. economy, was clueless. Clueless. China and other big exporters see it as a backdoor way to cheapen the dollar and give U.S. goods a trade advantage. I mean, where does this end, Beowulf?
I think it does. I think it ends with the death of our country if we don't do something about it.
Is Barack the president of the United States or president of the world?
It's an open question.
I mean, the rest of the world is now coming to understand what the American people know, which is that the president is basically a goofball.
Yeah. Yeah. How many hundreds of millions of dollars is he going to spend going on this new trip after he just got back from the old trip? We have some concerns here. There are a few problems going on in the United States, in case you didn't notice.
Does he have to go through TSA screening to get on Air Force One? No, we know this. No. Hey, did you read the report that he's out of it? He doesn't pay much attention. He watches a lot of daytime sports television. Did you read that?
Oh, my God.
Today?
I didn't. Daytime sports television?
They say that his aides, where did I see that today? I'll have to find the story, that Obama's basically out of it. He's not paying much attention to meetings. He walks out of meetings early. He spends hours a day, they said, watching daytime sports on television.
Oh, my God.
No, I have to find the report because I was stunned by it.
That's a president who says he needs more help to get the job done and that he's pressed for time. Well, maybe if he took a little time out of watching golf on TV, it'd be better.
Well, any things are getting crazier since this election than ever. And, of course, Pelosi is scrambling to thwart the rebellion. She called the Blue Dog Democrats who were trying to get her out. She said they're, what did she call them, nuisances or just irritants? Irritants. Irritants.
What an irritant woman.
The man is completely beyond belief. So now a new poll says only 26% of the public thinks Obama will be reelected. Hmm. Gay activists chain themselves to White House gate. We'll let that go unmentioned. And the New York Police Department is using iris scans on suspects.
Oh,
that's coming next.
Eye in the sky.
Iris scans. You know who originally proposed that was Dianne Feinstein.
Wow.
Perhaps her husband, Richard Blum, is in the iris scan business.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to trace that connection. I'll have to look into it.
D.C. elites think Obama will be reelected, but the public doubts it. This is on MichaelSavage.com. The Savage Manifesto for Saving America. You have to buy it for the Thanksgiving table to confront liberal relatives. Honestly. GOP urged to avoid social issues. Here we go. Did I warn you? Did I say that?
Yep. They're already turning left.
A gay conservative group and some Tea Party leaders, who would that be, I wonder, are campaigning to keep social issues off the Republican agenda. Wow. Government won't say why Fort Hood massacre video was erased. I have that up, back up on Michael Savage. Wow. Obama pushes to gut U.S. nukes in lame duck session. Housekeepers claim accents cost them their jobs. West Palm Beach, Florida. How do you like that? Oh, don't miss this story. Gangs buy jets for transatlantic coke flights.
Oh, I wonder if they get body scans at the airport.
Oh, God. Well, there's all. I have a reputed Canadian mafia patriarch killed. We have his picture up. Wow. We got it up. 86-year-old. What shape he was in.
Yeah, not bad.
God, he looks like someone I know in a restaurant. I won't even say. Good God. La Raza wins Supreme Court ruling for illegal students. That's on Michael Savage. Inmate in Florida is complaining that the movies he has to watch is part of his torture. He said Black Hawk Down, Pearl Harbor, Saving Private Ryan, and Battlefront. He's seen it hundreds of times, sometimes three times a day, and it's torture, and he's suing the prison.
Oh, the poor baby has to watch patriotic movies several times a day.
They who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Benjamin Franklin. It's on the bottom of MichaelSavage.com. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Oh, Big Sis Napolitano, you know, the Homeland Security chief. Her first name is Janet, by the way, like another Janet we had, has been getting a lot of resistance to her new full-body scanners and genital touchings. But even she wasn't prepared for the following question. Listen to this.
CARE has recommended that Muslim women wearing hijabs refuse to go through the full-body pat-downs before boarding planes. Will you insist that they do go through full-body pat-downs before boarding planes?
Look, we have, like I said before, we are doing what we need to do to protect the traveling public, and adjustments will be made where they need to be made. With respect to that particular issue, I think there will be more to come. The goal here, you know, we're not doing this just to do it. We're doing it because we need to keep powders and gels and liquids off of planes that are unauthorized, just as we need to keep metals off of planes. This is being done in recognizing that we all have a collective role in our security. And we all know and can recognize that there are threats and risks that have been articulated by those who seek to harm the United States, particularly in the aviation environment.
It seems as the real goal here is to give nuns and habits a full pat-down and to give someone hiding a bomb in a burqa a complete pass.
What we are doing is designed to really be risk-based, to be intelligence-based, to be layered. Like I said, when you get to the airport and that screening at that screening center, that's really, these TSOs are really the last line of protection we have for the aircraft, and that's the way we're going to evaluate things.
What about profiling, Ms. Reno? I mean, what about profiling, Ms. Napolitano? Or are you more willing to listen to the ACLU than you are to block terrorists? Well, Harry Reid is back in the Senate.
It's been my honor to serve as the Democratic leader for the last 6 years, and my team was just reelected, and I am really grateful for the caucus supporting us. Just to remind everyone, Senator Durbin is the whip, Senator Schumer is the vice chair of the caucus, Patty Murray is the secretary. Those are the elected positions. I've appointed as head of the DPC, Senator Schumer, vice chair will be Senator Stabenow, and head of the steering and policy committee will be Mark Begich.
I guess Chuck Schumer is moving up the ladder of seniority. Here he is.
We feel very sound in our approach to this lame duck, and of course next year and the year after that. Our focus is on the middle class, it's on creating jobs, and it's working in a bipartisan basis in any way that we can. We reach our hands out to the Republicans. We want them to work with us as they didn't do the last 2 years.
Bipartisan? Reid and his good friend Schumer are going to use this lame duck session to shovel every last bit of socialism down the throats of the United States. Play the clip.
We are pleased with the movement toward doing away with these earmarks. The president has been about earmark reform since he got to the United States Senate. When the Republicans were last in charge, earmarks exploded to 16,000 in 1 year.
Stop it. Get him off my show. Why is it liberal sneer? That's the one thing I don't understand. Why do they all have smirks on their faces when they're making comments? Everything's a smirk on MSNBC. Why do they have that nasty smirk? Where'd that come from? What does the smirk mean? Every time they make another sophomore comment, there's a smirk attached to it, like it's all a college joke. This is about our national sovereignty and our national survival. And therefore, we need to get rid of the idea that the smirkers are in charge. They're not in charge. Hell no, we won't go. Don't let Obama, don't let the Democrats, but most of all, don't you dare let these Democrat quislings, this is a Senate thing, by the way, don't let the so-called blue dog senators sign the START Treaty. I don't know what neighborhood you live in. Check out your state and see which one of them is a so-called conservative Democrat. I don't know if there really are any. I think it was a ploy to get elected. You know, what does anything mean anymore? What does it mean anymore? I'm a cynic. And I'm a realist, and I'm a pragmatist, and I love America. And I don't expect perfection in myself or in others. Having set that up as a preamble, that's like saying, I know that politicians generally are on the take. It's been the way of the world since Roman days. People get into power so they can gain power or money and do favors with it. Okay, that's what motivates them. Otherwise, they wouldn't go into it. They go into something else. So that's a given. However, there was always a line in the sand, and that line was national security. And there was a line of morality that most didn't cross. The line was blurred first under Bill Clinton, and now it has become an avalanche of a blur under Obama, where there is no line in the sand with regard to national security. I wake up every day, and it's as though a foreign power has taken over my government, is how I look at it. And I try to find out what damage they have done today. Czars? Tsar Nikolai is now in the White House? How did we get czars and no one said anything but a few people in the media? How is this possible? Why weren't they thrown out? Why were they not thrown out immediately? Why is Janet Napolitano still in power? She's failed at every turn to protect us from a terrorist attack. It was either by happenstance or by a civilian jumping up and stopping it. Why can this incompetence stay in the job of Homeland Security? Why is there no investigation of her? Why is there no investigation of the former Treasury Secretary? Why is there no investigation of people in the Managed Funds Association? Answer, because I watch too much television.
Savage.
Although we hear virtually nothing about it in the midstream media, there's a very tight race for the Senate seat in Alaska still being counted. Republican and Tea Party candidate Joe Miller is running neck and neck against the incumbent Lisa Murkowski, who changed her party affiliation once she lost her state's primary. Joining us now is Joe Miller himself to give us an update on what's going on in Alaska.
Well, I mean, today, in fact, I guess I should say after the official numbers closed yesterday, we were actually up when you include only the unchallenged ballots by 6,790 votes. There are still another 8,000 votes to be counted today. Those are write-in votes, many of which will go to Murkowski. And there are also probably about 1,000 military absentee ballots. By the time those all get counted and we are left with just simply unchallenged numbers, it should be a neck-and-neck race. And what it's going to come down to is the state of Alaska going to follow the standard that it's had on the books for years, or is it going to choose this new standard that was applied by the Division of Elections just 36 hours before the vote count began, several days after the election ended?
Well, what do you think is happening now?
I mean, that's an interesting thing. If you look at the news reports, it makes it appear almost as if this election is over. In fact, it wasn't too many days until after the election when you started hearing reports to that extent. But the reality of it is that the state statute that makes it very clear what the standard is applied here, this is a race that is by no means over. And in fact, it's one that probably is going to lead to yet additional counts. In fact, there, if indeed the state statute is applied, that's a different standard than what the Division of Election has been applying to this race. It's going to require another review of the ballot. So there probably is not going to be a final word on this race for several weeks. You know, some of the things that have come up throughout this process, it's pretty interesting. On the one hand, for example, the Division of Elections is doing a hand review of each of Murkowski's ballots. And yet our review has been by machine. In other words, there's a separate standard. So, for example, with respect to her review, even though they're write-in ballots, also the oval that's filled in beside the name, there's a different standard being applied as to whether or not her ballots satisfy the count requirements as opposed to how our ballots are actually treated. There have been a number of other things that have also transpired over the last several days that give us pause.
Well, like what?
You know, some of the reports that have come out of Alaska, the only way that you can get those reports is to go to our website, joemiller.us. But a number of people have reported, for example, that a part of this count, in one precinct, for example, the ballots were already sorted, and they were sorted according to Senate candidate, which means that somebody at the precinct level had access to the ballots before they were actually sent in to the Division of Elections. We had another report back from Anchorage that the early morning vote, he was the sixth or seventh voter in this particular precinct. There was a jam in the ballot counting machine. It was opened. They opened it up, and there were two or three inches ballots already in the machine. We've asked, in order to kind of clarify some of these issues, for the Division of Election to give us the tapes from these machines. These machines print out a tape that reflects who the number of votes, who the votes were cast for. So far, the Division of Elections has refused to give those to us. In fact, we were forced to file a suit in the Juneau Superior Court several days ago in an attempt to get those.
Unbelievable.
There are some other anomalies that have also occurred throughout the state, that given the fact that we're now at this point where we're looking at the tail end of these ballots, probably going to be involved in doing some additional review, that we should have time to get to the bottom. That is right now in this election, for the first time, applying a standard and taking an approach that has never been taken before. And you can see that, and not just in the way that they're considering these write-in ballots, but also, for example, in the fact that the state of Alaska Division of Elections, for the first time in 50 years of statehood, it actually is allowed to be within the voting precincts themselves, write-in list. And this was something that was directly in opposition to the state Division of Elections regulation, and yet that was permitted. You know, there are a number of other things that we could talk about as well that reflect that there kind of is a new approach taken here in this race called the Murkowski approach. It's kind of what we've denoted it, that is unprecedented in state history.
Some people in the media have been fired over how they covered the elections by the so-called news media in your neighborhood.
Well, oh, yeah, the KTVA story up here, quite interesting. The CBS affiliate in Anchorage, of course, very biased in their approach. The local media itself throughout the general election almost universally attacked our campaign and in many ways unfair ways. I can't tell you how many times in the local press, one of our papers, printed stories that were not factually accurate. In fact, there I can talk about a couple of different topics that were covered in our main paper in Anchorage that had factual errors that were never corrected. But with respect to this particular affiliate, one of their news people accidentally called our press secretary. We call that a butt dialing, if you will. And that a conversation within the newsroom was recorded on my press secretary's voicemail. It reflected that they were, you know, as effectively working to generate unfair stories about our particular campaign. We issued a press release criticizing that affiliate, and the affiliate issued a press release saying, oh, we've done nothing wrong.
Well, of course.
This was just 2 or 3 days before the election, before November 2nd. And then on Election Day itself, the affiliate actually fired two of the employees that were involved in that conversation, effectively admitting that, yes, what was done was wrong, despite the fact that the press release that they had issued, of course, while the race was still ongoing, claimed that nothing had happened. And, you know, that was kind of a microcosm of what we saw, you know, with other press outlets in the state, where it was very clear that they had picked their candidate. It was very clear that they would stop at nothing to basically portray our candidacy as one that was not within the interest of the state of Alaska, and they'd do anything they could to do it. And so it was a big battle in the general election for us to basically compete against not only Murkowski and her millions, but also the media that, again, was almost universally aligned against us. And then in addition to that, we had these 8A contractors out here, the Native regional corporations that got involved, we believe, illegally in the race. They're federal contractors, and they spent well over $1 million on independent expenditures as federal contractors in our race, basically, you know, again, making the same sort of unfair hits on our candidacy. In fact, you know, we had to face the mudslinging not just from Murkowski, but the ultra mudslinging from this consortium of groups. So, you know, it turned into, again, even after the primary, yet another David and Goliath battle, and it's now left us to this Nick and Nick race, which, like you indicated, the press has not really reported on very well in the sense that they're just taking these feeds out of Anchorage that suggest that, oh, you know, it's over. But it's not. In fact, like I said earlier on in the program, you know, we were up, as of last night, almost 7,000 votes. But there are about 8,000 write-ins left to count today, plus those military ballots. At the end of the day, when the unchallenged ballots are considered, It is going to come down to whether or not the courts decide to apply the statute as it's written or to apply this new standard that the Division of Elections is trying to foist upon Alaska.
Even though the Tea Party candidates did very well nationwide, the mainstream media is still not giving any credit to the Tea Parties.
Well, you know, there are certainly some bright spots and there's some dim spots in this. I mean, again, we aren't to the final on this, and I caution anybody to suggest that this race is over. Because it absolutely is not. Again, if the law is applied as it's written, I think we come out on top. But it is disheartening to know that when you are a reformer, you know, of the Tea Party mold, that you are going to have attacks from virtually every institution. And that certainly is what happened in our case. From some quarters, entirely unexpected. From some, expected. I mean, certainly the media is never going to embrace particularly a conservative candidate, reformer or not, but there is, I think, a real desire, at least amongst institutions in this country, to keep the system that we have.
Exactly.
Of course, this is a system that is dragging this country down into insolvency. I mean, we're headed for an economic collapse if we don't turn the ship around. The idea that we continue to expend the deficit expenditures that are, I think, an immoral burden upon future generations, it's got to end. But there's a lot of groups out there that are very comfortable with that approach, that are very comfortable with big government, very comfortable with looking to the federal government for the answer for all ills. And so anytime that you stand up and say, look, this system has got to be changed, you can expect opposition. But in the case of Alaska, it was pretty darn vicious. And in the case of other candidates, of course, Sharon Angle in Nevada, et cetera, you can see the same sort of reaction. You know, different players perhaps, but still it's the same sort of thing. You've got a reform candidate that's saying, look, we've got to change the system, and we've got a lot of players out there that have benefit from it or perceived benefit that will do everything in their power to stop that change.
Where can we read more?
Well, I would suggest that you go to joemiller.us. The press releases are out there. The anomalies we talked about as far as the issues that occurred both prior to the election and even those after. The press releases that we've issued, the affidavits, they're all at that website. So if you have any interest as to what's really going on with the race, that's what I would suggest. Hopefully, we'll be getting some fairer coverage as the final count pans out here over the next several days. But a lot of times you've got to go straight to the source. And so I'd recommend that your listeners go there. Now, the legal battle that is underway and is really, I think, going to be decisive in this case does require funding. And we absolutely need your listeners' support as far as the Legal Defense Fund goes. They can donate at joemiller.us as well.
Joe Miller, good luck, and thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, really appreciate you having me on today. Thanks again.
Well, this just goes to show how far the left wing and the big government neocons will go to remain in power. We need to stay informed, which is why I wrote Trickle Up Poverty. Get informed for Thanksgiving so you know what you're talking about and don't sound like a turkey.
Savage.
Accident. The Earth was created by accident, and then the universe is imploding, and a quasar, and a pulsar, and a black hole, and we're going to disappear, and the Earth is going to... Then I look at my dog in the bed. I say, you know, these people are crazy. What with the pulsar, and a quasar, and a black hole, and 84 billion light years away, and there's my dog laying on his back asleep with his arms folded over his chest. What does he know about quasars and pulsars and black holes? I think it's why we love our pets. They bring us back to reality. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you look at what's going on. It's like a madness, the whole thing. Let me show you why we have a Leninist in the White House, how this happened, and Lower East Side communists as his advisors. Let me explain how this happened. You can get real old school Lower East Side ILGWU wobblies running the country. Real old school triangle shirtwaist fire characters inside the White House pretending that they're getting away with it. You know, like, oh, yeah, we've got a white shirt and tie now. You know, just play the Internationale every time I see them. I can see the Ludlow Street every time these guys get up. They're like the guys on the soapboxes at Union Square saying that capitalism is evil. Now they're in the White House. So they're putting on a new act. They'll put more underarm deodorant on their words. You know what I'm saying? But it still stinks. How did they get away with it? The Fourth Estate became the Fifth Column. Let me give an example of what I mean by that. The press is the fourth estate. Their job is to keep the politicians in line. They don't keep the politicians in line. They keep you in line. That means they're a government media complex, which means that they're working to keep you stupid. Example, headline, today, Associated Press, here's the headline. Woman hit with car by Iraqi father dies. So what? You mean he picked up a car and hit her with it like a bat? What do you mean woman hit with car by Iraqi father dies? Then you read the story. A 20-year-old woman from Iraq whose father allegedly hit her with his car because she had become too westernized has died from her injuries, authorities said. Noor Faleh al-Maleki had been in a hospital since October when police say her father ran down her and her boyfriend's mother with his Jeep as the women were walking from the parking lot in the West Phoenix suburb of Peoria. So in other words, the actual headline shouldn't be woman hit with car by Iraqi father dies. It should be Muslim father runs over daughter who had become too westernized. But that would be asking too much of the schmucks who can only get into journalism school. In other words, if they can only get into J school, they already their brains are already halfway. Family members say Faleh Hassan al-Maleki attacked his daughter because he believed she'd become too westernized and not living according to traditional Iraqi values. His traditional Iraqi values, tremendous values in Iraq. It was worth all the men who died and got mutilated over there to free them. Really worth it to make Iran a larger Persia. That was great, Bush. Great job, George Bush. You extended Persia now from Iran to the sea. Al-Maleki fled after the attack but was arrested Thursday when he arrived at Atlanta's airport, where he was sent from the United Kingdom after authorities denied him entry. We'll let that go. He was returned to Arizona last week and taken to a county jail. He had faced charges, blah, blah, blah. Charges were upgraded in light of Noor Faleh al-Maleki's death. So in other words, an Iraqi guy runs his daughter over with his car and her mother because she became too westernized. So she wasn't a pure, frum woman. It wasn't clean enough for the father, that dirty bum, that loser crazy. Now, look what people are writing attached to this article. I'm going to read you a letter to the editor. When are we going to accept the fact that many Muslims have attitudes and behaviors that are simply not acceptable by Western values? The incipient idiocy of multiculturalism and political correctness blinds us to the fact that there are some people in the world who simply don't need to be turned loose in a 21st century industrialized and democratic society. Tolerance has to be a two-way street. We have no obligation to let people into this country who simply will not acculturate and respect the values of most Americans. I'm reading a letter. Listen to the rest of this. The guy's brilliant. We certainly have enough data points by now to determine that people of a certain religion from the Middle East have a significant problem in learning how to coexist with people from different religions, religious and cultural backgrounds. The French, Dutch, and the British are learning the hard way that mass Muslim immigration brings not only the typical socioeconomic problems of the uneducated slash unskilled, but violence and terror as well. Time to rethink our immigration laws. Now that's a man who should be in charge of ICE. Instead, he's just a writer to a newspaper. And you have to suffer through the Associated Press, which writes a headline, "Woman hit with car by Iraqi father dies." Like he picked it up like a toy and hit her with it. You hear? They were playing. It was a toy car, and it was a certain Iraqi holiday that mimics our Christmas. And he picked up the toy car, and he accidentally struck her with it, and she accidentally died. And they believe, you know, how did you wind up with this guy from a community organizer running America, surrounded by communists from New York City? Lower East Side commie agitators in the White House. Guys who belong in a soapbox in Union Square are now standing there in the White House telling you that this outlet is no good, that outlet is no good, this talk show is no good. These guys are agitators from Parks, Bryant Park in the 1930s, that type. Like commie agitators. Now they're in the White House. They got a clean white shirt and they're telling you they know economic policy. These guys couldn't run, I don't know, let me start with something basic. They grew up in communist families in New York. The fathers and mothers were losers from top to bottom. The most they ever made was like minimum wage working for like red newspapers, writing articles against capitalism and how Marxism would save the world, and dirty clothing. They usually went to night school, law school at night. They got like schlocky bad degrees. Now the son is inside the White House advising everyone, attacking Fox News and conservative talk radio like he's somehow a denizen of objectivity. And the world goes on. How does it happen? A couple of reasons. Woman hit with car by Iraqi father dies. Because the headline should be what I told you it should be. The same reason they tell you that Obama, a genius in economics. Every time he gets up, I start to laugh now. I look at the guy. I know he's faking it. I had a friend years ago when I was a kid. Let me put it in another context. The list is published 8 o'clock after I go off the air by the White House. They release the list of who the visitors were to the White House since January. Names come up like Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, Bill Ayers, Malik Shabazz of the new Black Panther Party, Newt Gingrich, because he fits right in with all of them, and, of course, some crooked bankers from Manhattan. Of course, they were also invited in. Now, you say, okay, they released the list. What does that have to do with anything? Because the Associated Press story says, White House releases lists of guests includes Oprah Winfrey and George Clooney. And they leave out Malik Shabazz, Jesse Jackson, William Ayers, and Reverend Wright. Why do they do it? Beware the government media complex. The Fourth Estate has become the fifth column. So I'm trying to tell you in my own way every day. I get up here a couple hours a day. I told you a couple of times what's going on. It's primarily because we've lost an independent press. Either they are too stupid to know what's going on, or they just, you know, bought the goods, or they believe in a Leninist revolution. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Savage.